This is Artists in the World, a joint podcast brought to you by Carnegie Museum of Art and WQED in Pittsburgh. I'm Jim Cunningham, WQED-FM's Artistic Director, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dana Bishop Root, the Director of Education and Public Programs at Carnegie Museum of Art.
Hi, Jim. How are you? It's good to see you.
Same. Delighted.
In this episode, we are going to hear from scholar, writer, and historian Zaya Rahmani and Ryan Inouye, the associate curator of the 58th Carnegie International. The pair are in conversation with a live audience, which you will hear. We have a great question and answer session as part of this dialogue. And what they are discussing is Zaya's incredible work, an archival project, and her many presentations of it. And in this project, Zaya is thinking from a non-Western hemispheric perspective of all of the ways in which the journal has become a tool for resistance and memory in people's movements and people's struggles around the world. One of the things that she speaks to that's incredibly evident within each of these journals and among geographies far and wide is the way in which pre-colonized peoples' culture and tradition become the very tools for their movement, building and resisting colonization. I love the part where she speaks to, no matter what the struggle is, no matter where the place is that the struggle is happening, that the main thing in common always is people speaking to freedom, the desire for liberation, and the need, the human right of freedom.
This was a terrific conversation. Turn up the volume. Listen closely.
Seismography of struggle toward a global history of critical and cultural journals is an inventory of non-European critical and cultural journals produced in the wake of the revolutionary movements at the end of the 18th century up until 1989. This monumental project explores a long history of graphical inventions and interventions, featuring a database of 1,000 journal titles. I just wanted to say that the database can be accessed, right, online, via the address sismo.inha.eng. So a few words about the installation component. In the installation, we encounter a montage of 800 images, which allow a glimpse into a selection of 450 different titles. So in this installation, we encounter, you know, really gorgeous covers of these periodicals, as well as images and articles that sometimes span multiple spreads. There are journals that focus on feminist perspectives from Egypt, a journal titled New Women in China, and the first Arab journal to focus on desire and sexuality. So the sheer breadth and ambition of the undertaking of the project is really remarkable. And this kind of listing here is just to kind of call out some unusual points or some unexpected discoveries that you can find while browsing the database and spending time with the installation. So Zaya, thank you for bringing this to the Carnegie Museum of Art and to the 50th Carnegie International. I just kind of wanted to start from the beginning and ask you, you know, when you set out on this project, you said that you were thinking about working chronologically, but in reverse, mm-hmm. right? So what were you looking for, first of all, and what was your starting point?
Thanks, you know, to be there for me, and sorry for my English, because I don't speak English, but we test, okay. Before this project, I was involved in another project around the idea of the map. I want to say that. You know. I work in the National Institute of Art in Paris around the idea of art and globalization, but I test something with this project always. I don't use the art. I use the periphery of the art, you know. It was very interesting by one thing, you know, it's difficult in Europe and in this country, French, to have a discussion around the idea of colonization. The objectivity, too, of the colonization, because behind the one energy. And I use one thing, the map. And I have built a very, I think, great and wonderful exhibition. The name of the exhibition is Made in Algeria, Genealogy of the Territory. And I use Made in for the idea of the fabric behind, you know. But for this exhibition and project, because the project was a seminary during 2 years with a filmmaker, with a writer, with a historian, and after the exhibition, you know. But the problem was for me at this moment, the toxicity of the subject. It was very hard for me because I was in the French archive. Nobody knew this archive, the archive of the 19th century. And it was very hard because I discovered a new country, you know. Nobody knew how was the Algeria before the colonization. And I was surprised because, you know, nobody can understand the colonization if you don't understand something. The people who live in this part of the world was different of the people from Europe. For example, the idea of the property, the idea of the land, you know. And, I was in the archive during a long time, and also the exhibition and the project was finished, and I was sick. At the end, I will be sick. And I was invited after by the NYU for 1 year, and I proposed 1 semester. I need this because, I grew up in France, but it's true, when you move in the other country, Tenishi Coates said, I don't want to say it's big or not big, right? But he said, je ne fais pas partie de l'équation. I'm not in the equation. When I'm there, I'm not in the equation, you know. I'm not black. I'm not in the equation. But in my country, in France, you are always in the political equation. You are Muslim, you are Arabs, you are blah, 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 blah. Okay. At the end of the exhibition, I was very sick because it was very hard to read a lot of things about the population of this country. And also, the most important thing for me was how the colonization has destroyed, really, another political project. And also how the colonization in North Africa transformed, really, the relation of the population with the religion, for example, and the other. And I was very sick by that. And how seismography come? Regularly in my institution, a lot of people write around the idea of ontology. Magazines of art and ontology. Magazine of art and ontology. And always it's Americans, European. And I say, okay. And one day I proposed something, I said, okay, you think the magazine don't exist in China, in India, in Africa? Perhaps this term, art, is an hegemonic term. Perhaps we need to use another term, culture. And I was very proud because the idea was, okay, I test, I write a project, I find the money, and I propose this project was, I need to understand when the first magazine with manifesto come. But I don't know the date, you know. The idea was, okay, I begin now, and I return in the past. And the first time for me was, okay, we test the magazines with manifesto bit after the Second War, but we forget the European. Okay, we work just for the Africa, Asia, Arabic countries, South America, and sometime peripheric, the most important, the North also, the North, you know, the country of the North of the continent. Okay. The surprise was important because I was surprised, for example, for this moment, all the Arabics magazines was very, very important at this moment, just after the Second World. It's amazing, you know, because I have found a lot of magazines with manifesto, you understand? You need this. Mm-hmm. And also a lot writer, artist was involved in this magazine. But all these resources is not in the Arab country. Mm-hmm. I have found these resources in the other country, not in the Arab country. Just now, there are a wonderful country for that is Morocco. Because in Morocco now, you have all the archive of the magazine and the internet and the database and the National Library of the Morocco. At the beginning of my project, no. At the end, yes. And the second part of the research was between the First and the Second War. I used this temporality and the meeting, it was always with 20 people. They come from all over the world. And after, at this moment, the most important was also the magazine from South America. Because the big problem was, okay, we have a big heritage with the Indian people. What kind of identity we have, you know? And there are a lot of magazines from Brazil and the other with the concept of anthropophagy and the other. The other part, after, it was between the first French Republic, you can say that, 1870, between 1870 and the First War. And at this moment, it was really important because you find a lot of first magazine from Aborigine people, Maori and the other. And after, the idea was, okay, what the first? Mm-hmm. The most important was the Indian magazine in the United States, Cherokee, Black people also. And the first for me, they come from Haiti. Mm-hmm. The name is, oh my God, I know all this, but they come from Haiti because it's the first magazines with manifesto mm-hmm. against colonization. The name in French is L'Abeille Haïtienne. At the beginning of the 18th century, 1817, okay. And it was important for me because at the end, I stopped the project at 1,000 magazines. You understand? 1,000. Now, if you write an anthology about magazines, you know, you don't play with this thing, you know. The Black people, the Chinese people, Japanese, all the people in the world who propose this kind of politics manifesto. C'est merveilleux. It was very good. And the most important thing also, when you read the manifesto, you are surprised by the idea of freedom, the other culture. For example, during the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, you can say five countries was the property of the earth. All the property of the earth come from five countries. All the Africa, you find English, French, German, Netherlands, okay. All the Arabic country, French, English. All the part of the Asian country, French, English, Netherlands, perhaps. And if you said, okay, South America, the Indian people have not liberty and, you know, Spanish, and then at the end, you know, you have five European countries, they kept with the culture all the world. But the most important thing for me was how and why all the population of this part of the world, you know, in South Africa, South America, Australia, all the Asian country, you know, all the people of this country need to learn the voice, the language of the other, of the oppressor. And they need also, use a new utopia, you know, because but the Christianism, you know, the idea of God, you know, and you forget all your culture, you forget all your politics, your community, was very hard for all this population. And when you read the manifesto, you are surprised by the liberty of these people, you know, for example.
You also talked about how you needed to set aside what you thought was art, right? Or this idea of what art was, in order to look at these. Can you talk about that a little bit?
It's difficult to find something if you use always, you know, the same. It's not possible, you know. You need this plasticity, you know. And if you said, you know, the art magazine don't exist in Africa, et alors, it's not a problem. Mm. The problem is, please, what these people propose, and you will be surprised. For example, the Japanese woman was against with the Meiji Earth, you know. At the beginning of the 19th century, a small group of women and men proposed a new magazine in Japan. The name is Seito. And it was against European culture. It was for the homosexuality, liberté sexuelle totale, you know, and they come from Japan. The idea also for me, you have another idea of the Arab world when you read the manifesto, you know. And sometimes it looks like a censure. Why all this manifesto? Nobody knows the manifesto, this manifesto. Why the European people are not interested by this project, by this text from the African people, from the Arabs people, from the, you know. And when you read the manifesto, it's always the same, you know. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Mm. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I'm trying to figure out where to come in.
No, I was surprised. It was really great. Sometimes, you know, for example, there are one Iranian manifesto. It's amazing, you know. And I was very... the black people in America during the 18th century, when you read the manifesto, you are very surprised, you know.
I mean, I think today we're in a lot of art, in our art world and in the academy now, we talk a lot about, in a very kind of casual way, about decolonization. And I think within the project, you have a really precise way of articulating what that looked like in that process. And I'm wondering if you can kind of talk about that in relation to your investigation into language here.
Yeah. Why the population need this? Yes, because you can say also why the European people was not interested by the other at this moment, you know. No, it's true. The Aborigines need to learn the English language and write in English for to say something about her culture. And the most important thing also, sometimes it's difficult, you know, you read... In this country, there are some texts from the 18th century, from the black people, you know, and it's hard because they write, perhaps you think we are not a good person, but we have perhaps a culture, but you don't want to know what kind of culture we have. We can read this thing. In the Black Manifesto at the 18th century. But the most important for me, it was also for tomorrow. Because all these magazines now is in free access, and we need that against Gestor, sorry. And because, for example, the Transition. Transition was a very great Black magazine. Until yesterday, Transition was free. But now Gestor has bought this journal. And for the story of the Africa, this magazine was very important. Hmm. All the great writers write inside the magazine, this magazine. And I think the story of the magazine, this kind of magazine with manifesto against colonization and that is finished. And with the internet too is finished. Because at this moment, you know, you can say also practice of the resistance in South Africa, for example, it was very hard during the apartheid. And regularly, we have a lot of magazines. They come from the other part of the... Some people was in Ghana, other was another country, and in London too. I was surprised by the manifesto, and also there are a lot of possibility for the liberty and for the coexistence of the people.
Yeah, I mean,
hate the racism, for example. Some manifesto, it's against the idea of the race, the idea of the color of the skin, the idea of the difference between men and men. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think what's interesting also, I think in your conversation also with Rasha in their catalog, you know, you were really talking about colonization not as the conquering of a territory or the annihilation of a people or a population, but you're talking about how colonial becomes this governing authority, right, that's superimposed on an existing governing authority.
Yes, it was very strong because, for example, perhaps slavery was not possible during the 19th century but they use sometimes a new form of intelligence. For example, you live in the specific space with land for community. In the Arab world, in the Muslim country, there are always, during the 19th century, a part of the land for the community. We have not the propriety of the land. We have not the paper. No. The colonization was important for that because when the French army arrived in Algeria, the French army asked to the people, it's your land? Give me the proof. Where is the paper? Yeah, not paper. You know, and so on appelle ça les biahabos, the community, it was for the community. And they play with a lot of this kind of thing, you know, you need prove the propriety with the paper. The other thing was, the European was, the case of the French, you know, there are a lot of revolution during the 19th century. Regularly, the Algerian country will serve the population from Paris and the other because they need, you know, this other country for, comment on dire ça? I need the term in English, you know. Des espaces de décompression. They use this space, you know, for that. I was surprised because, for example, during the revolution of the 18th century, there are regular revolution in Paris, and there are one in 48. 6,000 people move in Algeria, and all these people will be dead after, you know, because it was in the very dirty land, like plein de moustiques, and yeah, that's why it's very hard. Voilà. But with this magazine, the most important thing for me was the manifesto, and also how was the culture of the Maori people, for example, the idea of community, it's different than the government and the pyramid system, you know. And we need, it looks like perhaps testimony, but it's the archive for me. Also, you can use the archive for today. Because I think, you know, the idea of the world with boundaries is finished. And all these people, you know, was against this idea because the boundaries come, you know, look the Africa, you know, all these boundaries don't exist before the 19th century. Voilà. If si vous avez des questions. If you have some questions, you know. I can say something about also the installation.
Yeah. please.
Because the Louis Church, it's not the same Brian when you are in the Louis Church and when you propose this kind of piece. It's also an homage at one specific artist. I don't know, you know this artist, a German artist, Lothar Baumgarten, is a very great artist. And I love how this man is involved in the, it was, during a long time, he was in Amazonia forest, and he has a very beautiful sensibility, and how sometime, you know, the European project, for example, of the documentary of the world. You know, in Europe, we love that, you know. We want, you know, the inventory of the world, you know. And there are wonderful installations, Lothar Baumgarten installation about, you know, it was in Amazonia during a long time. It was with the population. And the installation is, you are in the black space, you have an aleatoire photography from people in Amazonia, the life. And also some drawing from the population from Amazonia, and the drawing is the pond, just line on pond. And it's an aleatoire projection. You have photography from the life in Amazonia and black and white photography, drawing from the children in Amazonia, and they have drawing and painting from Ekut. Ekut was a Danish zoologist. He was the first Danish zoologist, was in the Amazonian forest. And it's another world. You know, we have the bird with the color of the bird. It's another world. You know, the world of the Amazonian people, it's with the pond and line, you know. It's another metaphysic proposition, voilà. And I love this idea from this man. And the installation for me was, we need respect all these people behind this magazine. Because, you know, write a magazine during the colonialism, it was very hard for a lot of people. It was hard for the Indian people in the United States too, for the black people, for the Arab people, for the African people, because sometimes we have not paper, we have not distribution, we have not money. And now we need these resources. And it's a testimony too.
Can you talk, I mean, you also talk about this, the journal as this global format, which I was really struck by. You know, how did the entire world arrive at this form?
It's amazing. At the end, it's the same thing, you know, it's the same format, but it's very strange because that's why the formalism is very interesting. It's the same format, but inside, it's amazing, you know. You have thousand proposition, you know. It's a box, but inside this box, all the idea was, you know, I love this idea, you know. And at this moment, it was very hard because the informatics don't exist. The numeric don't exist, you know. It looked like bricolage. But when it was an inventory, wonderful inventory, you know. And also, it's always, they come from the human group. Sometimes you have one example, one example, yes. Sometimes the magazine is there for one, two century. But I love the idea of community behind magazines. And also it's a monument at the humanity for me, you know, because it's a specific moment. During two century, we have this specific language inside the manifesto just for, you know, the liberty. That's why I said it's...
Can you talk about the team that you assembled to kind of work on these magazines that, you know, across different languages and cultures, and how, like, what was that process like?
At the beginning, it was, Coloc and the other. Mm. And after, you have the team in the movies. I was a wonderful assistant, Esteban Sanchez, Arjen Temkin. I work with the young researcher. Mm-hmm. And also, I was a very great support from my institution. I said that, you know. They gave me the money. I was very, yes, the support was important for my institution, you know, because there are young researcher, mm-hmm. because in my institution, we receive a grant during your PhD for 4 years, and some student was with me for 1 year, 2 years. But the most important was Esteban Sanchez and Arjen Temkin. Mm-hmm. It was my team, you know, and we worked together for the resources. And after, for the movies and the installation, the most important was Thierry Combet. It's a wonderful graphist, and you build the movies together, because the movies, it take 1 hour with 800 picture, mm-hmm. and you have a long time in the specific space, this kind of space, and you have a line with the picture, and you play with the idea of the narrative, sensibility, history, and and the music, the sound comes from a wonderful musician in Paris. His name is Gigi Palix. Because it's very hard, you know, when you have just picture, we need the physicality and the sound. And yeah, Jean-Jacques, it's a typewriter, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And some voice from the people inside the projection, Patrice Lumumba. The voice is the voice of the
Mary McKay,
men and women in the movie. Voila.
But how did you arrive at the form of the? I mean, it's a kind of like you're dealing with all this material.
You know, at the beginning, my institution, my director sent me. He's a good friend of me, but he sent me. I have not money for that. I said, okay. Because the idea was always, you know, installation, windows, table. And I said, no.
Yeah.
I want something very light, because I want to go in Africa, in South America. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
You know, the idea was, okay, a disc. You know, the exhibition, it's just one numeric, but and after, you know, in Colombia, it was very great, you know, also too, because it's free, you don't pay for that. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea, it's free, you don't pay, and it's wonderful, you know, for that. I'm surprised also in Dakar, for example, but it was also in the Dakar Art Summit in Bangladesh, and the. Sometimes the population are very surprised by the liberty of the cover of the project and the other. And it's very easy for you. You write sismo.inh.ing and it's free on the internet.
Can you talk a little bit about the back end, or like what makes that possible? What makes it possible for you to gather all of these or to make accessible all of these publications, all of these journals? Like you kind of talk about this common language that libraries are starting to form, right? Or not. Sometimes you get locked out of the, like, permission.
But it's very strong because the idea is perhaps all this population, you know, have the same desire. For the travel, it's very easy. No, it's very strong, you know, because when you can connect the population, you know, from all over the world.
But who holds these, like, who holds the rights to these? journals now, right?
Who writes inside?
No, who holds the rights to the journals, like the copyright, you know, like this is the kind of other dimension, right, that you're having, that the project navigates.
My director, right? Yeah. My director, Eric, is great. He said to me, you know, forget the copyright. Ah, I have the copyright of the piece, you know.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah.
No, I have the copyright of the, no, but, you know, it's free. And the idea is also we have a convention with
right.
Yeah. I don't know, 65 libraries in the world for use.
They've signed on
because
allow access.
Don't forget that, you know. Yeah. For example, Europeana, it's a big project in Europe. All the libraries in Europe, you know, propose a convention for the free access. Mm. You know. And you have a lot of contract. It's the same for a lot of libraries in South America in free access. And also private projects in South Africa, SOAS, is in free access. Mm. You know, there are a lot of things in Sweden. And after, for the when you need to use this, some picture, you know, for the installation, yeah. You have... the agreement of the library. You have all the, that's why at the end of the, on the internet, if you want to consult, you know, all the partner, you have the, and also all the link for the digitalization. Yeah. Des questions?
Are there questions?
Sorry for my English, you know.
Are there questions from the audience?
Pardon?
Dana?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about, like, understanding that now you're creating this from an archival place, but when the production was happening, each journal, like, I'm thinking about how you're saying there's shared language of freedom, 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 but understanding at the time when the journal was created, it was specifically to a specific group of people.
Yeah.
Talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering...
Sometimes they talk to each other and... Yeah. After the war between the people exists, so you know the problem with the group.
Right. So I'm interested in kind of what happens now as you're thinking about, I guess it's like a shift of the public. Like by doing this project, there's like you're also shifting who the public of the journal is also. I'm just interested in that. I would love to hear you talk about what happens when an expanded public accesses these journals in relation to each other. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I'm sure, for example, in Morocco, after the exhibition in Morocco, I think the exhibition was important because the most important magazines was not in the National Library, and now you find, you know. And some magazines was very against the power, but you find. In free access. I was really happy with that, but I think we need these memories. We need these memories. Because now we are so conservative, you know. No, but it's true. You are surprised sometimes, you know, you said, my God, you know, is it vraiment libre? And it's looked like a resolution for me, you know. We can forget that. We need a monument for that because a lot of people was in jail. Mandela and the other for that, you know. And when you, there, it was very difficult at this moment, you know, to write something against colonization, you know. And we need this kind of testimony too because perhaps tomorrow, you know, the fascism is, you know, I don't know how will be the fascism tomorrow, but it's possible. And I was surprised because the life was very difficult for the Arab people, for example, in North of Africa. It was very difficult for the Algerian people. For example, it was more easy to write in Paris against colonization. It was not possible in North of Africa.
Allah.
Allez-y, vas-y.
Can I ask a question that's maybe a bit similar to what Dana was asking, but from a different perspective somehow. So, yes, the people that were writing in these magazines obviously were talking to
together
each other, or like were talking to a particular public, let's say. But we know a lot of these magazines and these publications were actually meant for like international solidarity, right? For the oppressed subjects to kind of discuss together or to compare conditions, or thinking about like the Tricontinental, for example, magazine and countless others. But at the same time, so I'm please bear with me as I gather my thoughts as well. I wonder if we, in parallel, let's say, when we speak about modernities outside of the Western Hemisphere, we always speak about kind of like modernities that are being contaminated by Western ideas, right? Modernities that like from that people are kind of like pulling from Western thought, from European thought, from American thought, Northern American thought at least, into their own kind of like worlds, and that's where we get like our different modernisms from. But I wonder if by this kind of like circulation of ideas that was happening through these publications, if we can take the leap almost to kind of deem that as a modernist project as well, as like a project of becoming modern in some way outside of the West. Does that make sense?
Sometimes, for me, the British Empire was more conservative than all the African community. But you need to write history differently today, because for me, the most important thing is, why is the European? I'm European today, but why? And I have perhaps some, why they need this part of the world? There are one, il y avait une maladie en Europe. But, mais on la connaît pas bien. On la connaît pas bien. Yeah.
There was a sickness in Europe.
C'est sûr. I was surprised because now my other project, it's a Paradis perdu. It's about, Columbus, before Columbus, just before Columbus, until the end of the 19th century. I was surprised, how was the population before Vasco da Gama in the Indian Ocean? All this population was connected. China until Kenya, Africa. Chinese people was in Africa in the 13th century. All because geography, with the geography, you can understand, you have the always country, 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 between China, India, Arabics, and Africa. And when you said, for example, the origin of this thing, it's not totally true because nobody knows who was the life before the 15th century in this part of the world, because they don't need this, you don't need write the story of the world. But we know all this population was connected since a long time. And it's great too. Je sais pas si j'ai donné une réponse. Mais nous, les Européens, on a besoin de... Mais ça vient, la jeunesse est tellement géniale. Les autres avaient une histoire et on n'a pas voulu le comprendre.
Voilà. The others had stories and stories, but us Europeans did not really want to understand them.
And also, sometimes, you know, the political project inside some community was very interesting. Not just the Marxism on the other, you know. The other project exists. Sorry, pardon. Yes?
Hi. This international, to me, is this loss of indigeneity. People losing their culture because of all these layers of occupation, colonization, and this basic idea of what happens to memories when they are lost, and trying to extract those memories from the past. And it seems like that's what your project is doing in a very organized fashion. And I'm curious, if indeed I'm correct, are you collecting actually any data on how people are accessing this and changes that are being made?
Depend, you know. The access is free by internet today, but I once said something also about memories. Perhaps before, or tomorrow, or in the future, exists a women's group. They don't need memory. There are one project. Sometimes, for example, we need forget the conflict, and you don't use the memory for that, because this history exists in the past, in the Greek history. You know how you know you are my enemy, but if I won't forget you are my enemy, you need erase the past. Okay, it's a subjective project proposition, but sometimes also the problem with the European culture and the book and the now internet, you know, now we have the memory of the world, but I'm not sure I have a memory. You understand? The memory sometimes is in books, but it's not in my body, it's not in my means. And I think now, perhaps it's a problem. Sorry. You know.
Or also this idea that there are so many memories. Or, you know, I think the one of the things that your project does is that it also, we have an abundance of information. And then your project also finds a way to make sense of that. To encourage people to kind of focus on different points so that meaning can be explored, extracted, you know, from this kind of sea of language, in a way. There's also this.
It's true, but I think the world is not finished. And with the idea of specific memories now, you know, with the internet and the other, the idea is you can use always the past because it's a memory, and
right.
And you are not totally in the present, and you know, but I think for me we need reconnected. We are very poor. Sorry. Mm. You know, it's very strange. For example, when you travel in the part of one country in Africa, you are surprised. Perhaps it's the end today, but sometime, you know, you are surprised how the population is so creative without all the modern tools, you know, with the text, with the drawing, I was surprised, you know, perhaps at the end, totally finished, you know. But it's very strong how, during this century, because it was not finished, I think it's the same in the part in Asia, in South America, the same, you know. I was surprised and by the creativity of the population in the class, in the, you know, without, you know, modern tools. If it was possible, you know, perhaps we don't need to be in the uniform. Je sais pas comment dire. Sorry.
Talia, do you have a question?
I was just curious, since this project has traveled to a lot of different places, how does it kind of adapt? Does it adapt at all? Because I know here we have a selection of periodicals that were loaned from the University of Pittsburgh, and I'm wondering if that has happened in other iterations and kind of what your thinking is behind that.
Depend the time and the space. There also, there are one database about worker magazine in America. Yeah. And my great pleasure, the next exhibition will be in South Africa, in the Zedmoka Museum. And the exhibition will be for 9 months with another group, okay? I think the project will be different because, but yes, for each proposition, we have a contre-champ, another, you use, the history of the country for yeah. When also it's possible to work with the university, with the school, with the teacher is better. But voilà, ça dépend.
But will those periodicals end up in the database?
What?
Will those periodicals that are here from the Pittsburgh, like local context, will they end up in the Seismography of Struggle database too? Or is it just as kind of a staging?
We have the database of seismography, and this database travel. And for this, for Pittsburgh, it was just for Pittsburgh, you know. But I don't know, perhaps one day, all this, because in Barcelona, it's another project too. But I don't know. I was surprised, you know, because the collection in the university in Pittsburgh, it's very. I was surprised, you know, because at this moment, in the just between the First and the Second War, the worker was involved in the fight, you know, for the right, and black and white people, and sometimes, you know. You need that in the United States. A new contract between the people, yeah. Black and white people. That's why I use this thing. Just, je ne vais pas donner de leçons. Hein. But I don't know, perhaps one day I have not exhibition, but a big database with all the database. Voilà.
Thank you.
Merci.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. This has been Artists in the World, brought to you by WQED and Carnegie Museum of Art. This season of the podcast has been created along with the 58th Carnegie International, the longest-running exhibition of contemporary international art in North America, and was recorded on February 23, 2023, at Carnegie Museum of Art Theater by Jesse Sorocco.
It's hard to believe that the first season of Artists in the World is quickly coming to a close, but there are still conversations to be heard. Subscribe and be the first to know when new episodes are released. And to learn more about this episode, please visit comoa.org/artistsintheworld.